Host your holiday party at Apex Entertainment this year. Book early and save. Receive a $15 Apex gift card for each guest with holiday parties booked before October 1st. With flexible event space, attractions, and customizable menus, Apex is the perfect holiday party destination. For more information, contact the sales team or go to apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mabb.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mabb.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two on a Big Boy Tuesday. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. He's brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Real quick, this is just a little internal business. I've been meaning to ask Murray forever. He's been doing this for a year more. Mm-hmm. Every time you say that the Celtics play the Wizards, you go, Wizards?
Yeah.
And it's some sort of joke, and I've never gotten it. What is that?
Oh, it's like from Harry Potter. He's a wizard, Harry. Oh, that's why I say it like that.
That's it.
Yeah, that's all.
Simple
Nothing
as
more
that.
Than that. Yeah.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Wizards.
Well, yeah.
Okay, that's
it's
it.
Wizardry.
I was wondering what that was a reference to.
Yeah, that's all. I just hate that name because they should still be the Bullets. I'm with you on that.
Oh, it's just about the dumbest ass name I've ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm. See, I prefer Wizards.
Okay. The second thing is, this thing about opening it up and whatnot. I just went back and double-checked. Opening up for Mac Jones and letting him sling it all over the place. The example is that this time, unlike the Dallas game, they went for it inside of 2 minutes in the second quarter. Do you remember this drive? First play, dump off to Brandon Bolden for 28 yards. Next play, incomplete to Brandon Bolden. Second and 10, they threw that out to Kendrick Bourne where he sort of backed up, you know, and tried to get the first down by backing up. He came up just short. So now they're sitting at third and one. Know what they did? Backward pass from Brandon Bolden. It was one of their flea flicker attempts.
Right. That was horrible.
Then fourth and one, they did let him go for it. They did put it in his hands. He threw that little sprint out, 3-yard little pass, which is, I think, is a really nice little play.
Yeah.
But that's hardly airing it out. Then he threw a couple balls to Myers, but here, starting first and 10 at the Jets 21, short pass middle, Brandon Bolden. Short pass right, Brandon Bolden. Brandon Bolden up the middle, no gain. Second and 9. Jones, pass short left, Brandon Bolden for 5 yards. Okay, then they got a PI, then 1 yard touchdown pass to Hunter Henry. They hardly let him air it out. The Jets were not covering Brandon Bolden, and so he just kept dumping it off to Brandon Bolden. And by doing that, you somehow got to about 54 points. So that's what happened in that game.
Yeah, they had the Jets didn't cover the backs, I thought, the whole game. There was even Jakob Johnson was catching balls.
This is why I think this game was useless. He's just dumping it off to Brandon Bolden. All right, Greg, trade deadline a week from today. What do you expect here from the Patriots?
Not much. I would
think. All right, back to your phone, 617-779.
I would think that the Patriots are more likely to trade for a special teams linebacker. Since they've gotten
Langy, are you serious?
And Winovich dinged up more than anything. You know Bill. You know what he does here. He comes up with those guys. I asked around about cornerbacks. It's specifically man cover cornerbacks because that's what the Patriots need. That's what they play. This isn't 2011 where you can just play zone. They'll get killed. Just like Dan Orlovsky did that year. And I was basically laughed at that by NFL executives that said, like, I think the Panthers probably got the last two available, C.J. Henderson, which the Patriots probably should have been in on. I don't know how they evaluated it coming out of school. But you're talking about a borderline top 10 pick a couple years ago for the Jaguars out of Florida. He got the Panthers got him for Dan Arnold in a third-round pick, and they gave a pick back. But Devin Asiasi in a third-round pick, how about that? And instead, I thought that the Patriots needed to make a deal at cornerback in the offseason to give them Gilmore insurance, whether it was his injury or his contract. And if he doesn't play ball, then you have a backup. The Patriots did nothing. There's nobody really out there. I did ask, like, to me, Darius Slay on the Eagles makes the most sense. Played for Patricia in Detroit, probably doesn't love him very much.
He has the contract that Gilmore wanted.
Yes.
Right?
Basically.
Go ahead.
And he's cheap for this year, and then it gets expensive. But I was told the Eagles are not going to deal him. You know, there were some other guys out there. I mean, Jason McCourty probably would have been the deal from the Dolphins, except he just got hurt. And I'm just looking for the other guys I had on my list. But anyways, there's not much out there. I think they need a speedy slot receiver. Mac Jones needs a guy who gets open very quickly and is reliable at that. Right now he doesn't have it. I love Jacoby Myers, but he's more of an outside guy. You know, Kendrick Bourne is fine. I think they'll try him more at inside going forward. But, you know, and Andy Isabella out of, you know, Arizona, maybe. But I really don't see them doing a whole lot.
I'd be surprised if they got a defensive back. What's the status with Sean Wade? That's a guy they traded for from the Ravens before the year started?
I don't know.
He's been concussions.
Yeah, he's been dealing with concussions from practice. But, again, he's a rookie. I think they are much more likely to trust, like, I think D'Angelo Ross from the practice squad is going to get promoted, and they feel much more comfortable with him. Now, he's a little guy. He's another 5'9", 5'10 guy like Miles Bryant, but at least he's been in the system. They will trust him more than, say, Sean Wade, who was a fifth-round rookie this year who came at the end of camp.
Greg, going back to the you want a wide receiver, would you bring Brandon Cooks back if it costs, like, a fourth-rounder?
No. I mean, he's redundant to Aguilar. I mean, they play the same spot. I don't know. What do you do with Aguilar then? Or what do you do with Bourne if you bring Brandon Cooks in? It's to me, Cooks is redundant. That's why I want a speedy, quick slot receiver, which another position where they didn't build for succession plans for Julian Edelman. And so they're left shorthanded there. But they need a quick inside slot guy.
Okay, back to your phones before we get to the 10 questions here. Ernie Revere waiting patiently. Go ahead, Ernie.
Yeah, I called yesterday and I said, about the offense, and you said, oh, it's only the Jets. It's not the thing that it is the Jets. It's showing teams that they can accomplish certain offensive plays, and you got to watch out for it. I thought, and they got to put Mac in the shotgun. Why they got him under center with their line?
They have him under center because he's a great play-action quarterback, Ernie. That's why you put him under center. Yeah, and he can play action certainly out of the shotgun, but that's sort of one of the things that's become a bread and butter. Shotgun, bang action, as Bedard would say it, the in cuts and the slants. The first thing, though, putting these trick plays on tape, really going to benefit them down the line. Why do I find that overrated?
No, I mean, they're not going to benefit them. I mean, you know, does it put a little, oh, we got to look out for this? Yeah, but no.
What is
not
that,
a big deal.
5 minutes out of your preparation? Exactly. Like, just pay attention to this. The receivers can throw. Okay,
look,
next.
The thing to take out of this game is that the offense executed better as a whole. That's a lot. I mean, I don't care who you're playing, whether they stink or they're great. If you execute well on offense, you'll be able to make yards and put up points. And the Patriots have not executed well or on a consistent basis until this week. That's great. Now let's see them do it two games in a row.
Scott in Maine, you're up next. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Mike. I'll be quick. Greg, hope the clipboard's treating you well.
Yes, thank you.
I had a question about, you've talked about how the Patriots offense is really hard to learn. Mm-hmm. I just wanted you to speak to the learning curve. And if you see anything that would make us believe this team's going to look any different week 15 than it does right now.
Okay, so big storyline when Brady was here. He was speaking one language. Everyone else was speaking another. Has that sort of all been eliminated? Are they all back on the same page?
Well, I think they're all back on the same page because you're dealing with a rookie quarterback. I mean, you're starting from page one. If you're in camp like Aguilar, Bourne, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry were, you're starting on the same page as the quarterback. Whereas when Brady was here, Brady's on page 897 of the Patriots playbook, and, you know, here comes whoever.
Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers, who is just like, or N'Keal Harry, who's just like, where do I go? Where do I even line up? Where's the huddle? And, you know, Brady loses patience, and he wants guys to do what he wants. And, you know, that's why he's ticked off, like, Demaryius Thomas gets released or traded.
Way, they're now sort of starting from the same spot, so there's ceiling here on this offense, and we're starting to see it.
Whether they're ceiling?
Meaning there's room to grow. The arrow's pointing up, and they're you think they're actually making strides there?
Yes, I think they are absolutely making strides by the week with all of their offensive players other than Jonnu Smith, who I think they they realize is, you know, limited to, he's really good with the ball in his hands, but how do you get the ball in his hands without him messing something up?
Yeah, that's a problem. He's good with the ball in his hands, but he can't catch it.
So I do think they are sort of identifying some things on offense. They are, whether it's the offense.
Hunter Henry in the red zone.
Hunter Henry in the red zone is clear. The tackle situation, Owenu over there. What Kendrick Bourne does well and where, you know, where and when he should be and where he should be. You know, like these sort of things, I think you are seeing something there. I'm really not seeing much on the other side.
Yep.
Tim and Blackstone. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys. After listening to Bert's comments, and we can probably be honest that this was the best the defense looked, and the fact that Hightower wasn't out there, I thought that was a correlation right away. And after hearing Bert's comments, is there more to that? And is he at this point just addition by subtraction? Because we know he wouldn't have been here back a couple of years ago with the way Belichick manages the roster.
This is true.
So is that kind of seeping, you know, its head right now?
Yeah. Hightower thoughts.
Do I think he was addition by subtraction this week? Yes. Do I think that...
Meaning they were better off without him this week.
Yeah, because he's a shell of himself. There's something... I think he was out for a reason. It wasn't because he's questioning the coaches or something like that, which I think the caller was alluding to.
Yeah.
I think it was purely physical, because when I watch him out there, it looks like he has some sort of groin issue, sports hernia, something where he just... There was that one game where he looked like himself. Then the next week, he was right back to looking really slow on film. You know, you bring up the defense about, you know, how much better are they? I mean, at one point, Mike White, when he came into the game, who I don't even know who the hell Mike White is. Apparently, he went to Western Kentucky, I think. He was 10 of 13 for 119 yards. That's like 9.2 yards per attempt.
And he
That's
blows.
Not good defense.
He blows. How many? He had a bunch of balls where he overthrew guys.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. After that, he turned into a pumpkin. But for those about 13 passes, he looked like Dak Prescott out there against you guys.
If Hightower never plays again, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I, you know, to me, they brought a guy back who missed a year. I'd be shocked by that. Now he might. You mentioned sports hernia. If something like that happened, are we really all that shocked? Bentley's actually played half decent,
yep.
I think, the last couple
has.
Of weeks. So you know what? See you later. I'm done.
Guy in Boston, quickly.
Yes, Michael.
Yes.
Listen, you guys, yours is the funniest show I've seen in a long time. You're talking 9 wins, 10 wins. I got bad news. They don't play the Jets anymore. And Greg, I got a scoop for you. Bill Belichick, I heard, is eyeballing a long snapper from William and Mary at the trade deadline. Thank you.
No, thank you, guy. As always. 10 questions with the big boy right after this.
Curious about legal cannabis? Visit Garden Remedies dispensaries in Newton, Melrose, and Marlboro to discover the cutting edge of modern wellness. The first woman-founded cannabis dispensary in Massachusetts, Garden Remedies grows and produces all its own products. Try Garden Remedies' own spooky spicy gummies. Whatever you do, don't eat it alone. So go see what's growing at Garden Remedies in Newton, Melrose, and Marlboro, or visit GardenRemedies.com. Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit-forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts state license number MR281495.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes. We've got to be on time. Jimmy, what are our buzzer options this week?
And the bees will start Linus.
Aha, very good.
Sun will rise up tomorrow.
There's Linus himself.
You know, I'm the same guy with different paychecks.
Good line right there. Same guy, different paycheck.
I don't think we lack confidence.
Yes, you do. Next.
Yep. I would just say, like, spaghetti.
That's what Mac Jones asks before every game, some spaghetti.
They made some adjustments.
We'll get to some of those adjustments later on. Let's hit one, Jimmy.
They made some adjustments.
Number 10, Greg, give me your latest take on the Deshaun Watson situation.
I think what's a big issue in this is that there's a lack of clarity from the commissioner's office on what happens if he gets traded. What happens if somebody trades for him and they want to play him? The NFL has avoided the whole topic because the Texans have done them a solid, which is basically park him on the sidelines. I don't think anybody knows whether he's going to be allowed to play this season should it come to that.
He'll be traded in the next week. This thing's got to come to an end sooner or later. You can't just let him sit there forever. They're going to trade him in the next week.
Greg hit on it. The league hasn't put him on the exempt list yet because they love the trade buzz. And once whoever trades for him, that's when he gets on the exempt list. They're going to suspend him, whoever trades for him.
I like that take. Number nine.
I would just say like spaghetti.
Okay, rank in order the fraud factor among NFL coaches who have lost their quarterbacks. In other words, what great, quote-unquote, great head coach has been most exposed without his quarterback?
I have Pete Carroll number one, just because I think not only is it exposing the offense, but also the defense. That is, defense is awful and doesn't fit anymore, and teams have adjusted. Belichick's number two. Sean Payton is number three because they're still really competitive with Jameis.
Belichick's number one, Pete's number two, Peyton's number three. Peyton's done the best job.
Least amount of fraud factor goes to Peyton. He's done the best job, kept that team afloat with the likes of Bridgewater, Jameis, and Mormon Tebow. Biggest fraud, Bill.
Okay, I have Pete Carroll as the biggest fraud. I've put Kyle Shanahan in here for some honorable mention, and not that, you know, Garoppolo was ever great, but, you know, we hear so much about this vaunted Shanahan system. When he doesn't have Garoppolo, they lose. Or when Garoppolo turns a total puss bag, they lose. I don't know. I'm just putting him on the list.
That thing the other night was a mess.
Because this is a guy that gets credit for the system.
Oh, he's a genius.
Okay, so I don't know if he's ahead or behind a Belichick. Pete Carroll's number one. Kyle, Bill. Peyton is easily the least fraudulent. They've won 4 of 6 games somehow with that crap bag quarterback, which he has done before.
Exactly.
So Peyton gets the highest marks in this regard. Next.
I don't think we lack confidence.
Draft the top 5 quarterbacks in the league in order you would take if you were starting a franchise today.
I love this question.
Okay, meaning you
good want... question by you this week. It's a good question.
Thank
see
you.
See if you can see who I leave out.
Okay, so you're drafting a guy for the next 10 years.
Justin Herbert.
Number one.
Patrick Mahomes.
Wow, this is what I was looking for. Go ahead.
Dak Prescott.
Yep.
Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, I see someone missing on the list. Go ahead, Maz.
Mahomes, number one. Dak, number two. Joe Burrow, number three. Herbert, number four. Kyler Murray, number five.
Murray over Lawrence. Go ahead, Big Jim.
Number one, Patrick Mahomes. Number two, Justin Herbert. Number three, Kyler Murray. Number four, Joe Burrow. Number five, Lamar Jackson.
Feels like a certain young quarterback is not been making anyone's list.
That's a shame.
Yeah, interesting.
Jack Mahomes.
Yeah, we seem to be missing someone on this list.
I know who Felger's going to have number one.
I'm just facilitating. I don't answer these questions. Next.
And the bees will start leanus.
Number seven, Arizona Cincy. That's your Super Bowl. If it started today, you know what I mean. Arizona Cincy. Is that good or bad for the league?
It's awful. I mean, nobody cares about those franchises. I mean, I like the Bengals a little bit. But, yeah, it's terrible.
It's good for the league, and I'll tell you why. They have two good quarterbacks. Get used to these two teams being good, because I think both of those guys are legit. Burrow in Cincinnati, like if the Bengals became good with Burrow as a star in the league, that's not a bad thing.
I think it's great for the league. Two young stud quarterbacks, explosive offenses, underrated defense, and they're fun as hell. Both those teams are fun as hell to watch.
For now, it's bad. You know, you never would have said Tampa being good is bad for the league, but Brady's made it so. These guys have to they haven't made it so. They haven't made it so for me. I have a hard time sinking my teeth into Arizona Cincy. Next.
And the bees will start leanus.
Number six, following the Sunday game in San Francisco during that rainstorm. What'd they call it? There's like a something bomb?
Bomb cyclone.
Bomb cyclone. In San Francisco, it was just a hot mess. Ben Volen in the Boston Globe wrote the following. The older I get, the less I like, quote unquote, weather games. He said, if that's what a game is going to be, quote, give me dome football all day long. Do you agree or disagree?
Deep thoughts in the Globe this week, huh? I disagree. Give me the weather. I don't care. It's football. You play football in weather, whether it's rain or snow or what have you. Those are the moments. This isn't, high school 7-on-7 in some gymnasium. Give me the elements. It's part of the game.
Can you repeat that first part of that line?
No, because Hardy's going to tear me up. Do you like weather games or not?
Okay, so Volin said, the older I get, the less I like weather games. I've decided the older I get, the less I like Ben Volin.
Jim.
Disagree. Dome football stinks. You need the elements.
Disagree. Hard disagree. Hard, hard disagree. In fact, one of the things I miss about the NFL is that there are hardly any other sloppy fields. They don't play on baseball diamonds anymore. And not that I want these things every week, but every once in a while, a mud bowl, bad conditions, I think, is variety. And you get a different kind of game.
I like that game.
I hate the fact that every game now is playing on a clean sheet. It's either AstroTurf or a dome, or even places like Green Bay and Baltimore, they've perfected like this hybrid grass thing.
Yeah, they weave it in.
Where it's like not even muddy anymore. Like, I never see mud on anyone's jersey.
Who's talking? Is that the facilitator? Who is that? I don't know who that is.
That one I wanted to weigh in on.
Okay.
Next.
Hey, make some adjustments.
Sorry to take up your time, big boy. Number five. Who's the biggest tool bag quarterback in the league currently? This is the old Jay Cutler Award.
Jimmy G.
Oh, hey, he's just the biggest puss.
Goes along.
All right, fine. Biggest tool bag.
To me, this one's easy. It's Aaron Rodgers. That guy's a jackhammer, for crying out loud.
Jimmy.
He's a complete, total jackhammer.
But at least he's good. Geno Smith. He's offensive to watch. Garbage player. And you're telling me Seattle couldn't do better at backup?
Next.
Ding.
I would just say like spaghetti.
Spaghetti's a pregame meal there for Mac Jones. Yeah. Number four, bonus tool bag question.
And stuff.
Who's the biggest tool bag charger of all time?
Lawrence Phillips. I can't believe they even drafted that guy.
I've used Kellen Winslow in the past. That whole game where he got dehydrated against Miami and blocked the field goal.
You don't think that was an epic game?
I think it was an act. It was a complete, total act. That complete, total phony fraud.
Wow.
And honorable mention, LaDainian Tomlinson. Tool bag.
Definitely.
Seriously.
I think you were thinking Rams. Wasn't Lawrence Phillips a Ram?
Oh, shoot. I got the wrong team.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
Sean.
Wrong color.
Sean Merriman. Ooh, lights out.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, next.
You know, I'm the same guy with different paychecks.
Okay, Linus. So, none of us caught it that you said Phillips and it was a Ram, not a Charger.
Well, just ignore that.
Either way.
moving along.
Charger now. Chargers. San Diego Chargers. Favorite Charger of all time.
Junior Seau. Love watching him play.
I was a big Charlie Joyner fan. Remember
Love Charlie Joyner.
Total
loved him.
Pro receiver. He had the single bar
face mask.
He was classic, old school, skilled receiver. He was great.
My favorite teeny running back of all time, Darren Sproles.
Yo, love Darren Sproles.
Good one.
They're throwing Marion Butts there as well. All right, next.
They made some adjustments.
Yes, they did, Alex. Number two.
How come you didn't call them on that?
Does L.A., Greg said, well, how come McCord did not call them on that? That's what that little chirp was, in case you have any idea what the hell he was saying. Does L.A. deserve two NFL franchises? Do they deserve one NFL franchise?
Yes, if New York deserves two, then L.A. should have two. I mean, it's a humongous market. They have the quarterback now with the Chargers, so they'll be fine. They'll be able to support two teams in time. It'll take a decade to build, but it'll get there.
No, they don't deserve two. No, I'll give them one because they're L.A. But two, no. I mean, again, they have constant problems out there sustaining one, for God's sake. I'll give them one, but not two.
Same with Maz. Shouldn't have two. Given the market size, they should have one.
Give them two. I feel not one ounce of sympathy for San Diego. Two-bit, one-horse town. You've heard me talk about that before. L.A. deserves two. Last one.
I would just say, like, spaghetti.
On the order of religious experiences, Greg? Where does a trip to Lambeau Field rank?
Right up there. It's up there with Fenway, with Wrigley. It's spectacular. I loved it. When I worked at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, we had an office in Lambeau Field, so I had a slash cart to get in and just do whatever I wanted to. Of course, here at New England, I would have gotten tasered or shot on the spot. I had to do that.
And I asked this specifically because Maz just made a pilgrimage, did you not?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yep. So my second trip, the first for my 14-year-old, I would tell you it's top five. It's up there. It beats the crap out of going to Gillette Stadium, I'll tell you that. What a complete...
What was your favorite part? Give me a little taste. Come on, give me something.
So look, I just love the fact that you walk out of the stadium, you cross the street, and you're someone's neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take a dump on their lawn, you can. And what they've done with the setup there, you know, in the plaza they built around it, you know, they got all these great displays. There's this hill there that you can sled down in the winter. They freeze the sidewalk, and you can skate. during the winter if you want during this whole thing. They had this whole collection of pumpkins out there. Okay, carved pumpkins, like this huge artistic display. And I said to someone, could you ever envision them putting something like this up in Foxborough? Are you imagine?
I'm telling people they're just taking a dump in them.
Exactly. That's exactly what the guy I was
crumpled
about to
beer
say.
Cans.
They did this in Foxborough. People would take the hats off the jack-o'-lanterns and take a dump in them. That's what they would do. Absolutely.
I only went the once.
It was tremendous. I loved it. It was great.
It's really impressive. And it reminds me of like these beer college stadiums like the Big House in Michigan. As big as it is, it also feels intimate somehow.
It was very much like going to Notre Dame. Very similar experience. You get a neighborhood right around the stadium. People are parking on people's lawns. The tailgate's off the charts. I loved it. It was great.
I could discuss this all day, but we will get back to the Patriots right after
this. It's another Packers Sunday.
Green Star Herbals, Massachusetts' premier cannabis provider, is now open at 19 School Street in Dracut and 24 Main Street in Maynard. Green Star Herbals has the largest selection of craft cannabis in Massachusetts and is a true destination dispensary. Green Star Cannabis is the gold standard for green. Visit Green Star Herbals in Dracut, Maynard, and coming soon to Chelsea. Or come to greenstarherb.com today to learn more.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit-forming. For use only by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children. This product is not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana used during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It's against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact the Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts State License Number MR28220.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Talking football with Bedard. Go back to your phones. Here's Bob in Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, two quick points, guys. Greg, do you see what Jamar Chase is doing with Cincinnati? That's what the Patriots need, that kind of superstar wide receiver. It doesn't have to be a wide receiver. It could be a tight end or a slot guy, but they don't have any game breaker like that guy. And that guy was, like, they criticized Cincinnati for taking him instead of the left tackle, which now makes zero sense. Second point, to Maz's point, I mean, they're 5-13 against teams not named the Jets and Houston in the last 2 years so far. So this could be a mirage. If they get to 8-9, I'd be satisfied with Mac Jones.
Well, that second thing, Bob, let me just stop you. They need a signature win. They do. I don't know if they need it for themselves. I mean, Bill tried to manufacture it against the Jets, getting them feeling good about themselves. But I don't know. For me, like for people viewing the team, I think they need a real win, and they haven't had one yet this year. As you said, Gray, a great stat. Since they beat the Chargers last December, I didn't realize it was that late in the year, but since the Chargers crapped all over themselves in that game, you said it was December 9th of last year?
I think it was 6th, December 6th.
December 6th of last year. What's the record? You had it before. You don't
remember? Well, I just said they have four victories. Three are against the Jets, and one's against the Texans. That's it.
They have four wins since that Chargers game.
It was December 10th.
Okay.
No, excuse me. December 6th.
It doesn't matter.
I was
matter.
Right. December 6th.
Early December. Okay, four wins since then, three against the Jets, one against the Texans. Like that, they're due for a real win.
Yeah, they got to beat a real team is what they need a game. I think the way I said it to you yesterday, because I can never remember, was something along the lines of they need to win a game that we don't see coming. Like, there's got to be one there.
But
the thing is,
they did it last year against the Ravens.
They did.
They did. That was the one we didn't see coming. Oh, they beat the Ravens at home in the rain and all that stuff. And okay. And then nothing. It didn't mean anything.
So, again, they need one of those. They're open lines if you want them. 617-779-0985. Tom and Quincy. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, boys? So, to add on to the last caller, I mean, three of the next nine games, there's only three wins we can feel confident about. Miami, the Jaguars, and the Panthers. The rest of them are more than a coin flip away. I mean, maybe the Browns because they're so hurt, but I mean, the talent on these other rosters is just so much more superior than what we have. I mean, if the Titans come up here and lose, Vrabel should be fired because they have way more talent than we do. The Chargers,
I don't agree with that.
I mean, they got Mike Williams, they got Keenan Allen, they got Austin Eckler. I mean, how do you stop that?
So if you're the Chargers and you have that talent and you have the guy and you're at home, and you can't beat this Patriots team, that's, you know, I'd be pissed if I were a Charger fan. You don't agree the Titans have more talent than the Patriots?
I don't. I think that they have more, you know, headline fantasy football talent that you're looking for in terms of Julio and A.J. Brown and all that stuff. But they're not that good defensively, really. Neither are the Chargers. The Chargers are awful at run defense. Probably the worst team in the league at run defense, which is good for the Patriots. I think, and I went through some of these and looking through advanced analytics, Football Outsiders, DVOA, the Patriots are middle of the pack. They're about 13th in DVOA, and like the Chargers are 17th. There's a lot of teams coming down the stretch where the Patriots are in the same ballpark as them, and you can make the argument that the Patriots are ascending while other teams are not.
We've got Joe in Pittsfield. He's up next for the big boy, Greg Bedard. Hi, Joe.
Hey, I got a question for Greg about the defense here.
Do it.
Been watching this defense and giving up some plays and everything. Mm-hmm. Don't you think Belichick should get more involved? Seems like they're crowding the line of scrimmage sometimes, and these outside guys are getting beat. What do you think?
Yeah, I basically wrote a column last week after watching the film from the Dallas game where I said Bill has to take over the defense. Now, he did not make the calls this week. It looked like it pretty much stayed the same with Steven with the calls, but Bill was definitely more involved this week. Also, I mean, like I said earlier, he was studying the photographs, but also, I mean, he was meeting with the linebackers when it was like 41-13. Like, he was all over it, and I think you'll see this week against this offense, Bill's going to be heavily involved.
So Steven Belichick was asked today if Daddy is getting more involved in the defense. I'm not sure if that was the exact question, but something like that. Jimmy, do you have it, please? Stand by. No, it's all right. I just sprung that on him. Steve Belichick today.
I think your father has backgrounds in everything, as he's talked about, like knowing all the things. How much is he involved in the headset in terms of the play calling? You know, you're relaying the plays. Does he chip in every once in a while? Does it depend on game and situation?
Yeah, you know, it's a group operation on all of us on the defensive staff. So we all play a part in that. And, you know, there's always feedback. That's why we got the headsets on. So we always talk about a lot of different stuff on there.
Wait, that's the son?
Yeah, it sounds just like him, doesn't he?
I'm not kidding. Like the whole thing.
Oh yeah, he sounds just like him.
How about the content thereof? That, you know, it's a group discussion.
Oh yeah, he must love that question when he's asked about it, especially with the, I hope someone asked it the way you put it. What's it like when Daddy's on the headset? I'm sorry, I can't get past that one. I just can't. The fact that it's his son, to me, messes up the whole thing. And I can't take any of it seriously in terms of the face value part of it. I don't know what it is beyond the face value. I think the whole thing is messed up because his son's there.
One final segment of your wonderful phone calls for Greg Bedard. Don't go anywhere.
Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
I waste enough time running errands. Now there's one less errand to do because I get my cannabis delivered from LanternNow.com. Visit LanternNow.com to shop from the best dispensaries in Boston and get your order delivered that very same day. I use Lantern so I can skip the trip, the traffic, and the line and spend my time hanging with my buds instead of getting bud. Even better, Lantern Now delivers to all of Boston and beyond. Go to LanternNow.com/gym to get started and follow @GetLanternNow on socials to stay up to date on all things cannabis.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
60 seconds in counting. We're going to speed off the air. Is there any thoughts you want to give?
No, it's just a good win. Good win to get feeling good about yourself as you got a pretty tough gauntlet of games coming up to really find out what your identity, what your team's going to be. You're not dead in the water yet. You needed this first step. Wanted to win last week, didn't. But here's your first one. Now we got to get going. Play well against the Chargers and let the chips fall where they may.
Pats dominated L.A. last year. Remember, in a game rife with special teams errors by the Chargers, but different coaching staff. Better beginning for L.A. this season as Hoyer one final time taking the snap and dropping to the knee. Victory formation for the Patriots. Victory celebration. The Pats winning in a runaway 54-13 over the Jets as the final 20 seconds elapse here at Gillette Stadium, and the Patriots improve to 3-4 while the Jets drop to 1-5.
Bill, how much could, a confidence builder can a game be like this for you guys? Do you guys post that many points and going forward now heading out to the West Coast?
I don't think we lack confidence.
All right, we cast doubt on that yesterday. We heard Bill Belichick say that after the game on Sunday night. But, Greg, you started off the show by saying you've heard the same. So why don't you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think the Patriots are confident in what they're doing, and that Sunday was not about sort of generating some sort of false bravado going into sort of a stretch that is basically going to define their season. I mean, these next four games now, I thought they needed at least, including the Jets game, they needed to go at least 3-2 here in this spot to keep the season alive. But, you know, and so now that's 2-2 at the least. But I think they're going to do better than that. I think they're going to go out there and win this Sunday.
Okay, but you feel that, and when you say that you think they were feeling confident, is that both sides of the ball, or is that primarily offense?
I think the offense definitely, and you could see the way that they're playing. They play with more confidence every week. Damian Harris looks confident at running back behind, you know, what the offensive line is going to do, especially if James Ferentz isn't out there. I think that the receivers, you know, don't lack confidence. Aguilar, he's sort of the next guy that you would really like to see take another step. I don't think Hunter Henry has taken a step. Kendrick Bourne has taken a step. I don't think Jonnu Smith is capable of more than really what he's shown so far. Maybe get a little bit better. Maybe a few more plays carrying the ball, maybe out of the backfield on reverses, things like that. But I think Mac Jones is gaining confidence, even though I don't think he's played nearly as well as he's going to down the stretch. But I think offense is gaining confidence. I don't really see that with the defense. I mean, you know, when you look at the defense, Matthew Judon has confidence. He makes a play almost all the time. Barmore has confidence. Outside of that, I mean, Duggar, I think, is coming along a little bit.
It's a good play.
Bentley?
A good interception. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, you mean the one off the turf?
Yeah.
The guy just, I mean, that wasn't his. I mean, to catch it, it was great.
To catch it, it was a good catch, is what I mean.
I mean, he's great.
He was he was in the right place.
Now let's see him with his ball skills on defense.
Yeah,
I hear you. Let's use those things to an advantage instead of being conservative and waiting back. Like, go make some plays because he is so good. He is so naturally talented that he's just got to trust himself and just go make plays. And if he does that, if Bentley continues to play well, I think you start to gain a little confidence on that side. But how is the secondary going to hold up against all these guys with the Chargers? This is a humongous test for that side of the ball. I mean, it could be their finest moment. It could also be the type of game where you're like, holy hell, they have no chance this year. It's one of those games.
I mean, their targets, the Chargers' targets are big. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, you said Cook, right? They're all good.
Cook,
they're all good sized. So, like, you know, to me, you got to win the game on the other side of the ball. You got to run the ball in this game.
And if they win this game, here's a lock. You won't hear Joey Bosa's name once.
Yeah.
They'll double, triple team him. He won't be in that backfield hitting Mac Jones at all.
I hope so.
All right, let's zip through some calls here before the big boy says goodbye. Sean in Worcester. Go ahead, Sean.
Two comments and a question. The first comment is this. Did the offensive line play better because they finally put Mike Onwenu on right tackle where he should be? The second comment is, I don't agree with Felger a lot, but I'm going to agree with him on this. Big boy, they need at least 10 wins to get to the playoffs. And I leave you with this question. If they don't beat the Chargers, are we overrating the Jets game?
Yeah, good point. I mean, right. To me, the Jets game is only significant insofar as what you do after it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go on a run here, you say, okay, well, that game helped build some confidence, and I'll give it to you. But if you go out and lose this week or don't do anything after it, well, it was just a one-off against a horrible team. So, you know, and I'm sorry, and until I see it, I'm going to defer to it was a one-off against a horrible team because the sample's kind of big on this.
I think I'm more about this weekend. And look, does 10-7 probably comfortably get you into the playoffs? Yes. I still think a 9-8 team is getting in from the AFC. That's all I'm saying. But as far as this weekend and following the Jets game, I need to see how this game goes. Like, if they go toe-to-toe and Mac Jones gets into a shootout with Justin Herbert and they just come up short because the Chargers had the ball last and that sort of thing, then I'll still feel okay about the team, and I don't think it's that bad of a loss. Yes, any AFC loss is not going to be great for them, but I think the Chargers are going to win that division, so I don't think they're in competition with them. But it depends on how they lose this game. It really does.
All right, I think the Pats are definitely in competition with the Chargers. I would not write off Kansas City. I don't know. Should I? Joe in Maine, should I write off Kansas City?
Yeah, I was just looking to see from Greg's point of view, why are the Chiefs struggling so badly?
It's a great question. I do think that some of the league has adopted what started with New England and how to defend Kansas City in terms of, you know, make them go. And the Bucs did this too, sort of in the Super Bowl. Make them go 9, 10, 11 plays. Do not let Tyreek Hill beat you at all. If they want to throw all day underneath the Travis Kelce, go nuts. And then keep them somewhat around the pocket and see if they make a mistake. I do think the offensive line, in a continuation from the Super Bowl, it's a different unit, but it's been bad. I mean, I voice concerns about Orlando Brown. He was a right tackle in Baltimore. Kansas City signed him as a left tackle. He is not good enough. Joe Tooney's been good out there. Everybody else has been bad. And Mahomes has not been healthy. He's not healthy from the turf toe from the end of last year. It's all accommodated. And the defense
blows.
Has been horrible.
Their defense blows.
Chris in Worcester, what do you got, Chris? Go ahead, please.
Hey, I have a fact. I think the Chargers blow them out. And I have a question for Bedard. You said a couple calls ago that Tennessee is not as talented as the Pats or something to that effect. When I just caught that at the end of that call. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what your thought was on that?
I just said not necessarily are they, and I was trying to look up the Titans roster. But I just think, look, if you play fantasy football and you look at stats, yeah, the Titans are better. I mean, but if you stop the running back, you have a pretty good chance. Their defense is not that good. Vrabel makes a difference. But if the Titans and the Patriots play tomorrow, I think it's pretty close.
They got some pretty big wins under their belt. I mean,
they also lost to the Jets.
Yes, they did. So, but I don't know. Do I just put a little bit more stock into their wins than that one-off loss? But I don't know. I mean, you know the full roster better than I do. Here's John in Brockton. Go ahead, John.
Hey guys, a real quick question. What about N'Keal Harry for Andy Isabella? Well, he's from Arizona, Harry, and Isabella's from UMass. I think he'd make a great receiver in the slot, like Greg said.
I'd do it yesterday.
I'll take anything from N'Keal Harry at this point. Give me some pumpkins for Halloween. All right? You know, whatever. Whatever you can get for him, Andy and Isabella, great. You know, just go get somebody who has some speed on offense to add to what Mac Jones has. You're not playing J.J. Taylor all that much, so there's no speed out of the backfield other than, you know, Damian Harris when he's running the ball. I'm talking about third down, trying to make, you know, drive extending plays. Give him more options. Right now they have none.
Greg, in closing, you like the Patriots this week. Why?
I just think that the Chargers' weaknesses, I think they're a little bit overrated. I think that people just see Justin Herbert and what they have on offense in the passing game and just think that the Chargers are awesome. They're not that awesome. And they cannot stop the run. They are awful. I expect the Patriots to run all day on them and also make plays off of play action due to that. And they will figure out a way to limit the passing offense. They just won't let them get behind them, hopefully. Hopefully Steve Belichick is not calling cover one robber on 3rd and 25 this week. Or else Justin Herbert's going to burn you for a 50-yard touchdown. So we'll see.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. We appreciate it.
Sounds good.
See you, big boy.
Look forward to your coverage all week in the Boston Sports Journal. We're going to take an hour here and give us some Celtics thoughts off of last night's win and their season so far. It's been an interesting up and down season for the Boston Celtics. Where are they right now in this moment in time? Some Celtics thoughts and some follow-up thoughts on the Red Sox. So you can jump in. You can call someone whatever you want. They're open lines at 617-779-0985. But we're going to give you a Celtics minute or two. And sort of an ominous tone coming out of Fenway Park yesterday. That's all next hour. No commercials, just an update first from Big Jim, and then we get right to it.
The safety of our loved ones, it's never been more top of mind.
which is why for many families, the Drive with Safety app has never been more reassuring.
Phew.
It lets you know where every driver in the family is located. Plus, families that use the Drive with Safety app can save 5% in their auto policy while benefiting from information that can help improve each driver's performance. Ask an independent agent about safety insurance. We'll help you manage life's storms.